Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Oh, got it! Got it! Got it! 33! Center field, Marsh leaps, and he got it!
It normally.
High fly ball, deep left field. Oh, 27 does it again
for this year.
Wall sends it well out to left center field, and it's gone. He went to Jared.
Way
diving catch, Joe Adell.
This is Brandon Marsh for Los Angeles Angels Baseball. You listen to All Angels Podcasts.
And welcome to another edition of the All Angels Podcast. I am your host, Daniel Garcia. So I want to give a quick belated happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. I know Father's Day was yesterday, but I want to come out here and say happy Father's Day to all the dads listening out there. And honestly, that is why this is coming out a day later than usual, or a little bit later than usual. I spent, obviously, Father's Day with my dad. We went golfing with my brother, my wife, went back to his place, and kind of hung out for a while and got back late last night. So I decided to delay the recording until Monday morning. So thank you for bearing with me on that. I did not forget about this weekend, this Angel weekend that was probably the best weekend the Angels have had of recent memory. Obviously, of this season, I think taking 4 of 5 from the Seattle Mariners. That's weird to say in a weekend series, 4 of 5. But before we get to the, you know, recap of the week, and there was a lot of news around the team too, injury related, and I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. I want to give a quick shout out to the Rocket City Trash Pandas, the AA affiliate of the Angels, for clinching the first half playoff berth. And if you're not familiar, what that means is, in I believe in all levels except for AAA, the season is divided into two halves. So if you win the first half, you're guaranteed to make the playoffs at the end of the year, kind of regardless of what happens in that second half. So the Rocket City Trash Pandas did that. They clinched their division the first half of the season and will go to the playoffs guaranteed at the end of this year. And I think the reason why the minor league systems do that is because the teams change so much as far as, you know, who's coming up, who's going down, who's moving here, who's moving there, who got traded and stuff like that. So they divide it into two halves, and the two winners of the two halves get to make it to the playoffs, and the Rocket City Trash Pandas did that. The first time a full season affiliate did that since 2017, I believe. So that alone kind of tells you how the minor league system has been very much struggling over the past, you know, let's be honest, maybe decade plus. But good job for the Rocket City Trash Pandas. Happy to see that the Angels affiliates are doing well, and especially in AA, where it is very much a prospect league, where, you know, your top prospects always go there, and they're looked to really, really develop there and spend a lot of time there, or spend time there. Maybe a lot is too much, but AA is always seems to be the premier minor league destination to see what teams have. And if this is any indication of what the Angels have going into the future, you got to love the pitching. You got to love some of the players they have on that team for the Angels' future. Not saying it's going to be this year, maybe not even next year. But, you know, as Angel fans, you're tired of always saying wait for next year, wait for next year, wait for next year. But at least at this point, you can look at something and say, yeah, they won a championship. So it can kind of, you know, validate waiting for, you know, next year or the year after for some of these guys to come up in the major league. So, again, shout out to the Rocket City Trash Pandas, the Angels AA affiliate all the way out there in Alabama. So congratulations to those guys. Now let's go to the games up in Seattle. obviously, the Angels coming off a sweep of the Dodgers, dropping the two games from the Dodgers, now go up to Seattle, where a team who was very promising at the beginning of this year, a lot of people picked them as kind of like their sleeper playoff team this year. The Mariners have really, really been struggling, and this was a great opportunity for the Angels to take advantage of that and take advantage to get back in the winning column, and not only get back in the winning column, but put up a winning streak. And that's how this weekend ended. But it started on Thursday with Shohei Ohtani on the mound. You want a slump broke, a streak broke, a bad, you know, losing streak broke, you put Shohei Ohtani on the mound. And he did really great. But this whole weekend, if we're going to be honest, this whole weekend belonged to one guy, one guy only. He got it started in the top of the third inning with this shot.
There's a fastball that he punishes out to deep right field. Drumel back, and it's gone!
So obviously, that's Mike Trout. But he wasn't done yet, because in the top of the seventh, he does it again.
Trout sends that one high and deep out to center field. Rodriguez back, feeling for the wall. The second of the night for Mike Trout! Got him this time! Another two-run shot, 4-0 Halos!
And obviously, that is all the Angels would need with Shohei Ohtani on the mound. Shohei would end up going six innings, giving up three hits, no runs, walking two, and striking out six, all on 93 pitches. So it's great when your pitching is clicking on all cylinders like Shohei was. You had Loop come in, throw a clean inning. You had Tapera come in, give up a single run. It seems like between Loop and Tapera, it seems like those guys just need to start clicking a little bit better, a little bit more consistently. He gives up a run that makes it a three-run game, but then Rossell Iglesias comes in, shuts it down, getting his 13th save of the year. The Angels win the first game of this series 4-1. But obviously, the big thing was Trout. You know Trout's history with Seattle. He loves playing up there. He loves Safeco / T-Mobile / I don't know if they've called it anything else since then, but he loves playing up there. He showed it the very first game, two home runs, and it definitely looks like Trout is getting back his timing. So now let's move up to Friday's game, where you had Michael Lorenzen on the mound for the Angels, and he's coming off a pretty good performance last Saturday with the City Connect jerseys debut. You had he did really well. You know, the team did really well behind him. That was the night that Jared Walsh hit for the cycle. But today in this game, and a lot of people were questioning the roster that got put out there, because before the game started, there was some big news that came out, and that was Anthony Rendon shut down for the season with wrist surgery. So I'll talk a little bit about that towards the end of the podcast. But yeah, that was kind of the news coming into this game. And with that and a doubleheader coming out the next day, you had some guys resting. Most notably, Shohei Ohtani was not in this lineup offensively. But they made a good point about it on the TV, if you watched it, is that when the Angels left LA, it was a night game. So the game didn't finish until, let's say 10 o'clock, 10:15. They didn't get up and into their hotel in Seattle until about 4 a.m. the next morning. And if you guys have ever traveled to Seattle, you know where you land at Tacoma Airport, I think it's Tacoma, and then you have to take a team bus from there to their hotel in Seattle. That's like a 45-hour drive. So it's not like when you fly into, let's say, JFK and you're only about 10 minutes away from Angel Stadium for visiting teams. This is a really long trek for visiting teams, because most times when teams do fly into other cities, you know, the trip from the airport to the hotel is not nearly that long. So these guys got in at 4 o'clock in the morning. Shohei still did really well that same day, pitching and swinging the bat. So for him to get a day off on Friday with a doubleheader coming the next day made complete sense to me, because you really want him to play both games during that doubleheader on Saturday and obviously Sunday morning as well to finish off the series. But you had Trout as a DH, so that means you had Marsh, Lagares, and Ward out in the outfield. But it just seemed like Lorenzen did not have his best stuff in this game. He ended up going five innings, giving up five hits, five earned runs, three walks, three strikeouts, and one home run. It definitely felt like he was out there longer than he might have been normally, just to kind of save the bullpen arms for the next day. Because if you were to take Lorenzen out after, you know, in the middle of the third inning, middle of the fourth inning, I think because of his performance would have been very, very justified. But he stayed in there. He got through five innings, even if that meant, you know, putting the team way down. But it's hard with a doubleheader the next day. I will say that. It's hard to kind of figure out what you're going to do for the next day. Are you going to try to come back and win this one game on Friday and put yourself in a worse position to lose two games on Saturday? So I think they played it right. They didn't. Once the game got out of hand, and it got out of hand pretty early with a four-run fourth inning for Seattle to make the score 7-0. So I think at that point, not necessarily throw up the white flag, but you might have to be more cautious about who you use in what situation because of that doubleheader the next day. But the Angels end up dropping this game 8-1, and Trout ended up not hitting a home run for the only game this series. And that's kind of odd how the one game he doesn't hit a home run, the Angels don't win. But that just meant they had to go. They went. Oh, something too that was very funny about this game, and I guess it's something to laugh at. You had Jack Mayfield make his debut on the mound in the eighth inning, throwing. It was weird. You look at Baseball Savant, and they were saying like, "Oh, a breaking ball or a curveball," and then come to find out, he was throwing straight knuckleball the whole time. I'm talking 40 something miles an hour, but he actually did pretty good, only giving up one hit in his one inning. And you know, it's always kind of interesting to see position players out there to try to throw the baseball in. Honestly, like I mentioned with Lorenzen, the reason why he was out there so long was to save the bullpen for the next two games on one day. And exactly the same thing for Mayfield. Warren came in and threw two innings, and we'll get to something that happened with him too later when I talk about those injuries in general. But Mayfield came in for that last inning and was able to get out of it and honestly helped the Angels long term as far as not having to use another bullpen arm, waste another bullpen arm on a game that was at that point, especially in the, you know, bottom of the eighth, was well out of hand. So that was kind of fun to see, at least a little bit of laughter during the game when obviously not a whole lot went right. So now we'll go to Saturday's game. The first game of Saturday, it was Saturday morning, obviously doubleheader. This has to do with the scheduling and the tweaks they made because of the lockout and because of the first opening series was lost because of the lockout. So you had Patrick Sandoval take the mound in the very first game of the doubleheader, and actually did very, very well, where his only blemish on his line came in the bottom of the third. But in the top of the fourth, the very next half inning, the Angels were able to get some contribution to the from the bottom of the lineup when Kurt Suzuki does this.
A ball and no strikes with Duffy and Marsh aboard. That's lined out to left. Well hit. Moore lays out, and it gets past him. Duffy's going to score. Marsh runs like the wind. He scores right on his heels, and the Angels have grabbed a 2-1 lead.
Like I said, Patrick Sandoval had a very, very good game. He ended up going six innings pitched, four hits, one run, two walks, five strikeouts. So he obviously is a huge part of what this team needs going forward, Patrick Sandoval. So to see him out there and have a very, very solid outing was very comforting and very, you know, give you some kind of a confidence going forward with Patrick Sandoval. But in the bottom of the seventh, the Mariners would end up scoring one run off of Archie Bradley that would end up tying the game 2-2, and it was staying that way all the way until extra innings. And in extra innings, this guy comes up and he does what he does.
Trout sends a ball well hit out to right center field. That one's got a chance. He got it. He got it. Yeah.
So obviously that would put up the Angels 2-4, and that's exactly how it would end. 2-4, Angels win with a game-winning home run by Mike Trout in the top of the 10th. I don't know what else he can do or needs to do for Seattle just to look at him and be like, hey, we'll give you first base. And it's funny, too, because all of his home runs that he hit against the Mariners to this point have been obviously two run home runs. So, you know, whether the guy's at first or the guy's at second, you can always walk him, and now it's first and second with whatever, however many outs. If there was one guy that I would walk with the bases loaded, would be Mike Trout in Seattle. And if this series doesn't prove that, I don't know what will, because he has absolutely taken advantage of every mistake the Seattle pitchers have made to him and put it over the wall. And quite frankly, it's been him in this series, and it was nice to get that bump from Suzuki earlier in this game. But for the most part, this offensive production for this team has been very, very top heavy. But Trout has come up to the plate, literally, pardon the pun, and swung it and hit it out of the ballpark numerous times to put this team up. And they, like I said, that Angels would win that first game of the doubleheader 4-2. So they take a little bit of a break, they change uniforms, and then they come out later that night for game two of the doubleheader, where you have Jose Suarez on the mound for the Angels. There was a lot of talk about who would come up in this situation as far as who would be the pitcher, who would be the guy that would take the mound in doubleheader. Now that the Angels are kind of spot starting a lot of their guys, a lot of these sixth rotation type of guys, you're always hoping to get some kind of a good outing by them. But in the top of the third, he was able to pitch with a lead because of who else?
Hit a long way out to center field. Rodriguez back, feeling for the wall, and that one's gone! He got another one!
They may have to retire his number here after all that.
So, yes, I love Gooby's idea of when Trout's at, whenever he's done, whenever he retires, whenever he decides to call it a career, that not only do the Angels retire his jersey, but the Seattle Mariners retire his jersey and do it at, you know, T-Mobile Park, and let it be an Angel jersey and let it put it up in the rafters, because he has owned them. Like I mentioned before, it's just so weird, because you say it for one inning or for one game, and you're like, all right, he did really, really good for the one game, and you're like, okay, that's probably going to be the series. But for him to come out almost every single game of this series and put up a home run, put up a runs on the board that win the game, is absolutely crazy. And with that one run solo shot home run, that is all the Angels would need, because Jose Suarez would go 4 1/3 innings, giving up 4 hits, walking 3, but striking out 7. So he definitely had things working from striking out 7 and just less than 5 innings is really, really cool to see. Hurgert comes in. Jimmy Hurgert, again, I talked about this on the podcast probably last month. He is definitely like the underrated bullpen piece. He came in, went 3 2/3 innings, only giving up 1 hit, striking out 1. So you put the ball in play, didn't give up any free bases. This guy has been a really, really solid player out of this bullpen this season. And Archie Bradley would come in for the last inning and close it up, and would be able to pretty much complete the combined shutout, if you will. But earlier in the game, the Angels put a nail in this game when Jared Walsh comes up to the plate and does this.
Walsh swings and sends a drive out to right field. That one's gonna go! 3-0 Halos! Pinch hit, 2-run jack for Jared Walsh.
So you heard it there where I said pitch hit for Jared Walsh, pitch hit home run for Jared Walsh. And that's because during the weekend, I guess, comes out, he wasn't feeling great. And with a lefty on the mound on Saturday night, he took that game off. But it opened up a door for past guest of the All Angels podcast, David McKinnon. If you remember, I talked to him probably like 3 weeks ago, like not long ago. And now he's in the majors, which is really, really cool. He got his first taste of big league play. So congratulations to him. Unfortunately, he went 0-2, but, you know, it was great just to get out there and be able to see him perform well. He did really good defensively. He made some great diving catches and plays at first base. We'll see how long he's on the roster, if it's just because Jared Walsh wasn't feeling great, or if this is something that's going to stick around, because Sunday came around and he was still on the roster. So that is good news for David. And like I had mentioned, if you haven't listened to the podcast I had with him Go back and search it out. It says David McKinnon in the title. Talk about his work, the honest to God work that he had to put in after completely blowing out his knee in 2018. Not being able to play in 2019, not being able to play in 2020 because of COVID and minor leagues not having a season. But we get to talk about all the work he put in during that time that, you know, not slow him down. And he found something out in that time that he missed. And it is very, very much paying off for him now with AAA Salt Lake. And hopefully now will pay off for him too as well with the Angels being like the primary backup to Jared Walsh. So congratulations to David McKinnon making his MLB debut June 18th, 2022. I'm sure a day that he will never forget, and hopefully he gets more opportunities and hopefully he will get that first hit soon as an Angel, because that's something very, very special. So congratulations to David. Glad that he was able to make his MLB debut this season. All that work has definitely paid off. Today's episode of the All Angels podcast is brought to you by SportsDrink, your digital water cooler. SportsDrink is a newly created internet community that tries to find the intersection of sports and not sports. They are here to help us grow and hate your favorite team. A rising tide floats all boats, so go check them out online and on social. Go to sportsdrink.org or open Instagram and type in @SPRTSDRNK. Spelled like SportsDrink without the vowels. Now let's move to Sunday's game, Father's Day up in Seattle. In this game, you had Kenny Rosenberg taking the mound. Again, another spot start for the Angels, and hopefully the pitching will be able to keep the Mariners offense stymied like they have been the whole series. And it really, really helps when in the fourth inning, this guy comes up and gives you a lead.
Pitch number 9. Trout's ready for the heater this time. High and deep to right center field, and he did it again! One too many fastballs, cha-cha! Gotcha!
So, yes, Trout with another two-run home run to give the Angels the lead 2-0. And truthfully, that's all this pitching staff would need to seal up the game. You had Kenny Rosenberg, like I mentioned, take the start for the Angels today. He ended up going 4 2/3 innings, giving up 2 hits. 3 walks, 1 strikeout. So you pitch very well. Obviously, you want to see the walks kind of get cleaned up a little bit. But for the most part, he did very well in this start for the Angels. And Jose Quijada came in for a third of an inning. And then you had Wants, Loop, Tapera, Iglesias, all guys coming in, throwing zeros across the board to have the Angels end up scoring 2 more later in the game. And the Angels would win 4-0, completing the 4 out of 5 game series win over Seattle. And for a team that has been struggling to put back-to-back wins together, this was a very, very good series for them, and hopefully a series that they can build, you know, a little bit of momentum off of now coming back to Anaheim for this 9-game homestand back at Angel Stadium. But obviously the biggest hero of the game, of the series, Mike Trout, 4 game-winning home runs. It's crazy, like I mentioned, it's crazy to think that one guy can have that good of a series against a single team. But he did it, and he has proven time and time again that he loves playing up in Seattle. I said it before, if you're going to walk a guy with the bases loaded, it might as well be Mike Trout with the bases loaded up in Seattle, because he will definitely make you pay. But overall, the pitching did really well. Mike Trout did very well. But there's still a little bit of question marks coming around this team right now. You don't want to take anything away from them. But the pitching did really, really well. Seattle has been a team that has been struggling offensively a lot. So now that the team moves on and is going to start playing a little bit more competition, obviously you have Kansas City, another team that struggles. Seattle back for the next weekend, and then you have Chicago White Sox. You hope that the pitching can continue to pitch as well as they are right now against lesser opponents, because, you know, some people will say, well, you know, we got to do it against teams that are better than us. Yeah, you do at a certain point, but that doesn't mean you can't poo-poo the teams that you're supposed to beat. How many times have Angel fans sit here and said, you know, we take care of the Yankees, or we take care of the Astros, or we take care of Boston, but, you know, we cannot beat the Orioles, or we cannot beat the Mariners, or we cannot beat, you know, whoever the last place team is in the Central, you know. So now that they're actually doing that, that's going to be a big step, and hopefully this breeds confidence. And when they do play teams that lead divisions or in playoff pictures and stuff like that. So, you know, it's one thing to say like, oh, this is great, but it doesn't really matter because it's not the Astros. Like, no, these all are going to matter at the end of the day. And at this point in the season, with the streak that the Angels were on, losing streak wise, you will take a victory anywhere you can get it, any team you can get it from. So gotta love the fact that they are putting games together, even if it's against a lower competition team. And hopefully it all pays off down the road when they are playing the Astros in the beginning of July, because you got to build that confidence somewhere. And what better place than now to do that? But the Angels, again, like I mentioned, take the series against the Seattle Mariners and puts them right back in the playoff picture a little bit, with now only being 4.5 games back as of Monday morning. So still in the picture, still able to get closer. Obviously, some of the teams right above them are teams that you would think would be contenders for the wild card spot. You know, Boston, Tampa Bay, the Cleveland Guardians are a big surprise for me. Cleveland Guardians, as of right now, have the second wild card spot with a record of 34-28. And if you were to ask me that at the beginning of the year, if that's what their record was going to be, or they were going to be even close to that, I would have said you're lying. But they're their second wild card spot, and then obviously Toronto with the first wild card spot. But Chicago, like I said, the Chicago White Sox are coming to town soon, and the White Sox right now are actually ahead of the Angels by a half a game in that wild card standings. But again, you take care of business against a team like that, is you can very easily jump and hop over them. So Angels are still in it. Angels are still not out of this fight yet. Again, you still got to put some series together. You still got to put victories back to back to back. And with, again, Kansas City coming into the Angel Stadium for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, this would be a perfect time to get that momentum, keep it going, carry it over from Seattle, and keep it going. So Angels right now are back in second place in the AL West, but there are a full 9.5 games back of the Houston Astros. So I said it before, I'll say it now. If you're going to have any kind of goal, or you want to look at scoreboard watching at any point, you know, you kind of have to stop watching the Astros score and thinking about, well, they lost, we need to pick up a game, and start looking more so at some of those wild card teams and start scoreboard watching for those guys, because obviously those are what's going to happen first. You know, you're going to be in a wild card spot before you even get close to competing for that division, which sucks. I know with the Angels beginning of the year, and a lot of fans thought this was the year that they would take the division, but now because of the 14 game losing streak, you would have to hope that you get into with a wild card spot, and the Angels are there. Another good week, another couple good series victories against the right teams can put them right there in the mix of the wild card position, third wild card position for sure. So before we get to the injury news over the last weekend, let's talk about the starters for this coming series against the Kansas City Royals at Angel Stadium. So starting Monday night, you have Noah Syndergaard with a 4-5 record with a 3.53 ERA with 35 strikeouts. You know, Noah, again, you'll hear this a lot with the pitchers. He is very important with what this team does. This team offensively will be carried by Ward, Trout, Otani, Walsh, not Rendon anymore, but those will be the guys where if they play well, this offense plays well. And the same thing, if our starting pitchers, starting with Noah Syndergaard, you're looking for, like, to me, the four main guys have to carry, because that fifth and sixth spot is going to be kind of a question mark right now. But I'm talking about Syndergaard, Otani, Sandoval, Lorenzen. Those guys need to really carry the team with their pitching, you know, that side of the ball, because, you know, Detmers, again, hopefully he takes a step up. Hopefully he continues to develop. He's still very young. That sixth spot in the rotation is still a really big question mark. Who's going to be that guy? So while those questions are still there, you're looking for your leaders, your veteran type of pitchers. I know Sandoval isn't necessarily like a huge veteran type because he is so young, but he has shown to be the veteran on the mound, if that makes sense. So you need those four guys to really do a great job on the mound to give this team an opportunity to win games. And on Tuesday's matchup, you're going to have the Reed Detmers against Jonathan Hersley of the Kansas City Royals. Detmers is coming in with a 2-3 record with a 4.25 ERA, 38 strikeouts. And obviously, everyone knows Reed has the no-hit stuff. We've seen it. You know, I was there. You were there probably, you know, or watched it on television. It just seems right now for Reed, it's just the consistency of his outings. And like I mentioned in the last podcast, can you really teach consistency, and how do you teach it? Is it something that either you have or you don't? And maybe, you know, Reed can develop it over time and getting more reps out there. But I think at the end of the day, it truly does come down to the actual player about his consistency. You can tell him all you want about how to be consistent, but it's going to be the player that puts it together and becomes that kind of a consistent presence on the mound or consistent presence in the box. So, you know, for all the grief the coaches get, and I understand it, but you can only give the players the tools they need to succeed. It's up to the individual player now to take those tools and use them the right way. And hopefully over time, we'll see more and more of that with Reed Detmers, and he can definitely become a huge part of this rotation, a front part of this rotation going forward. So hopefully with a team that's struggling like Kansas City, he can use this time to get some confidence and get some momentum back in his pitching ability to, like I mentioned, be a big part of this rotation. But that is going to be matchup for Tuesday night. Now going into Wednesday's night game, it should be a very fun game if you have an opportunity to get out there and watch. They are going to be celebrating the 20th anniversary of the 2002 World Series by the Angels. They're supposed to have a lot of guests, obviously members of that 02 World Series. Not only that, but now you have Shohei Ohtani on the mound too to kind of show off a little bit to the old timers, if you will, of the Angels. But they're supposed to have some kind of a presentation before the game, and you can see that with the start time of the game. Usually games at Angel Stadium start around 6:38. This start time for this game on Wednesday is set to start at 6:49. So obviously, if you're going to go to the game, definitely get there early. They're supposed to have a nice long sleeve shirt giveaway, a pregame ceremony, like I mentioned, and a postgame firework show for the fans there. So Wednesday should be a very fun day, should be a very fun night. Like I mentioned, yeah, Shohei Ohtani on the mound. So you have to like your chances of getting a W on this game. And all the old heads there from the 02 World Series is going to be a lot of fun to see those guys. And I'm sure they're going to have stories about, you know, the 02 series and maybe other guys' recollection of it and what they had and what they did and their thoughts about it and all that stuff. So that should be a lot of fun. I'm hoping they're going to have, you know, quite a few of those guys up in the booth at some point or another during the game to talk about their experiences with a World Series victory, because that's everything that's all that the teams are working forward to now is a World Series victory. And hopefully there's one in the not too distant future for the Angels in this organization. But so yeah, Wednesday should be a lot of fun. Definitely, if you're going to go check it out, get there early. I highly recommend get there early so you're able to enjoy all the pregame festivities and all that stuff that they are planning to do before the game on Wednesday. So that's going to wrap it up. That's going to be a three-game series for the Angels versus the Royals. They have an off day on Thursday before Seattle Mariners come to town for a weekend set. So a little bit of news to end the podcast. First and foremost, this is coming out on Monday. Check out tomorrow's podcast as well. I talked to Sam Blum of The Athletic about the Angels season. Obviously, you know who he is. He's on Twitter. He's one of the beat writers for the Angels. So had a really good conversation with him. So definitely check that out. It's coming out tomorrow. So make sure you subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss a thing. Also, too, if you guys have an opportunity, especially Apple users, if you can just write a review, rate the podcast, it would help out tremendously on growing this podcast. Just something simple. It could be two sentences long, 5 stars. I don't talk about it. I don't ask for much, but if you guys have an extra 2 minutes, that would be great, and I really, really would appreciate it. And obviously, you can follow us on our social media feeds too, Halo_Haven on both Twitter and on Instagram. You can also reach us on our voicemail line, 951-384-0810. The number will be in the description below of this podcast. So, yeah, definitely check that out. Check out the next podcast with Sam Blum. And I actually got a question on our voicemail box that I asked Sam Blum, and it's a really cool way for you guys to interact with not only me, but guests that I will have in the future. So definitely check it out. Definitely subscribe to this podcast and our social media feed. So let's get to the big news this last weekend. Anthony Rendon shut down for the rest of the year with wrist surgery. Obviously, this is news that, after coming out and saying that there was a setback in his wrist injury after the Dodgers series, a lot of people saw coming as far as him being shut down for a significant amount of time or even the whole season like that ended up being. And it's just another bad turn for the Angels with Anthony Rendon. It is slowly but surely becoming a very, very bad contract for the Angels. Probably one of the worst ones up there. But unfortunately, their Angels are stuck with Anthony Rendon for the next, I believe, that's four more years left on the contract. So there's very limited action they can really do with Anthony Rendon. You're definitely not going to be able to trade him now with his injury history and him just being on the 60-day IL. But even going forward, let's say, you know, in the offseason, that likelihood of any team taking him for anything is almost zero to none because of the money owed to him and because of the injury history. You look at how many games he's played with the Angels since signing with the Angels, and for the last 3 years, I know 2020 was abbreviated, so even if he played the full 2020 season, it wasn't going to add up to a full year, but it's like 100 and something games for three seasons. So definitely not the type of production you want from a guy that you spent so much money on. And honestly, now I think the Angels, and this might not sound great to some of the Angel fans, but I think now the Angels are just going to have to sit there and kind of put him out there whenever he is healthy. Hopefully he stays healthy, but you know, the Angels are not going to be able to move him. I seriously doubt that they'll go out and spend big money on another third baseman to take his position just because of the fact that you don't want a ton of money tied up in one position like third base when you have the question about Shohei Ohtani coming up in the offseason and how much you're going to pay or how much he's wanting to get paid. So the option of getting a serious, you know, replacement for Anthony Rendon is probably not going to happen. And the fact that the Angels don't have a ton of prospects that are ready to go infield wise is a big factor too, because some of your best prospects for the Angels are in, you know, high A or low A baseball right now, and they're probably not going to be ready for another couple years. So that puts the Angels at, again, in a very hard position. You're going to have to hope that Anthony Rendon eventually stays healthy long enough to get some kind of a return on investment. Obviously, it's not going to be the full return. I think that is by far gone now, because when you sign guys, players to seven-year deals, and especially at the point of the career where Rendon was at, you're hoping to get three, four solid good years at the beginning of that contract, and then you understand that at the last part of the contract that things are going to fall off. But with Anthony Rendon, him having very, very hard time staying healthy in the beginning part of the contract doesn't bode well for the back end. And that's all the times when you have to overpay to get players. I mean, that's just the way free agency works. You overpay to get players. You pay above market value to get players in free agency, because if you don't, the next team will. And that's exactly what happened with Anthony Rendon. So you're just hoping that he would be able to stay somewhat healthy from years coming up, because that's the best hope the Angels have at that third base spot. And hopefully within the next 2 years, you have a solid third base kind of prospect kid that can come up and compete for that spot and maybe take it. Or if Anthony still has issues with getting hurt and missing big chunks of time, at least now you have a third base prospect guy that can be a glimmer into the future, if you will, or be the next big prospect for the Angels. But again, they're probably still about 2 years away from that actually happening with what they have right now prospect-wise. Now, We talked to the Sam Blum, like I mentioned, the Athletic coming out tomorrow. We talked a little bit about the trade deadline and trade moves and stuff like that. And it's still a little too early to figure out what the Angels will do. But in the off chance that they do become sellers, you know, is that maybe a position they look at addressing, a young prospect type that could be the future at that position if Anthony cannot continually stay healthy? That's going to be a very interesting part of the trade deadline coming up in July. But we talk a little bit about that. We talk a little bit about, obviously, Shohei and his contract, the Angel streak, the difference between Nevin and Madden. So definitely check that out coming out tomorrow. So another injury, an unfortunate injury, because it felt like he just got back this series, because he did. And that is Austin Warren, put on the 15-day IL with right tricep strain. That's the official word from Angels PR. But yeah, it's really, really sucks to see that he is not being able to continue pitching. He just got back. Obviously, you know the story about the broken nose out in Fenway. So hopefully this doesn't set back Austin too much, because he is, even in the short time between being activated and now going back on the IL, he showed that he is very capable of being a crucial part of this bullpen. Even the crazy part too is, even when he was feeling a little tweak in that right arm, he was able to finish that inning. So I guess the good news is that it is a tricep. It's not an elbow or shoulder or anything that are like the key words for pitching injuries. So hopefully he gets back. Hopefully he gets back after the 15 days, so the Angels bullpen can be even stronger than what it is right now. But yeah, unfortunately, they lose him. I know some people will say it, but won't say it. But unfortunately, to lose Anthony Rendon, I still think, because of the lack of depth in this team, Anthony Rendon was obviously still the best option the Angels had at third base, regardless of what you thought about him. But now that he's gone for the year, now it's interesting to see who's going to fill in that spot. It was Jack Mayfield. It has been Matt Duffy. But now with David McKinnon up to be, I guess, a backup to Jared Walsh, now you might see Duffy more so at third base, with Jack Mayfield being optioned back down to AAA Salt Lake before Sunday's game. So we'll be interesting to see how that third base position kind of fills out for the rest of the season. Obviously, it looks like Matt Duffy right now. Whenever Fletcher gets back, and again, still zero word on when Fletcher is going to get back. The Angels haven't said anything, haven't set out a timetable or nothing. But obviously, the best move would be to put Fletcher at third. But the time of when that's going to happen, I have no idea. I'm not sure if the Angels know when that's going to happen. But so it doesn't seem like it's something that you can really depend on going forward, especially not in the near future. So third base is going to be a big question mark, and hopefully that doesn't hurt the team, because this offense is very, very top heavy. You get past, you know, the fifth spot, fourth spot in the lineup, you're really hoping for some guys to have clutch moments, as far as maybe getting on base at the right time or being able to hit some of these guys on the top of the lineup home once they do reach base. So big eyes, or a lot of eyes, are going to be on that bottom of the lineup and see how they produce. And that's going to be a big factor in how well this team does. You know, Trout, Otani, Walsh, those guys can get on base. It's going to be up to the other guys to hit them home. So definitely watch out for that going forward into this season. But that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the All Angels podcast. Remember, Sam Blum interview coming out tomorrow. So subscribe to the podcast now. You can always reach us on our social media feeds, Halo_Haven, Twitter, and on Instagram. And I mentioned one more time, our voicemail line, 951-384-0810. So thanks again for coming along for this ride. Sorry it came out a little bit later than normal, but I was spending Father's Day with my dad, and we had a lot of fun there. And I hope you guys had a great Father's Day as well. So I am Dan Garcia, and this has been another edition of the All Angels Podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.